welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This Aspire podcast is being recorded for the 19th of December, 2021. And we're going to be looking at the state of goodness. I get some interesting emails and questions on human goodness. And I understand where this is coming from. I wish I knew the ages of the people that write me so I can understand what this is all about. When I'm out in the world and I'm, let's say, at hospice or something and talking to people in general, I don't find that they question too much their own goodness or basically anybody's goodness. They are looking for whatever basically gives them what they want. They're looking for instant gratification, and they call that good. And when something is easy and fast and quick and everything is working the way they want it to work, then everything is good. When everything fits the human mind and perceptions, the expectations of the human being, that is good. So I don't look at it from that point of view. I look at things from the goodness. To me, goodness is the result of a person who has lived in mercy and compassion, or shall I say, that had enough compassion to create mercy within their life. And that would probably be a better way of putting it. Something that is nourishing to the heart. Not the human heart, of course, the authentic heart, and awakens the person to the soul. The soul lives dormant within most of us. We just don't see it very much in us. We think we do, but we don't. It's all about the human heart. This lifetime for most of us has been purely about the human heart, not about the awakening into the soul. So we'll talk about that maybe some other time. If you have questions on that, you know how to email me at greg@aspire.org, and I'd be happy to answer your question. Soulless people, they basically comprise the whole generation of, at least my generation of baby boomers, and generations that were preceded me and follow me. So it just is there. We don't have the mentality for good. We don't assess things in order to understand really what good is. So we look at good as whatever benefits us personally. And that's about as far as it goes. But there is far more to good than that. So let's get into the questions. I gave you my little preamble. First one comes from Bob in, let's see where he's at, Los Angeles. He says, he talks about enjoying the program, and I'm grateful. You say we have goodness in us. And he goes, ... Really? Oh, Bob, I love the art of sarcasm. I do. It's so funny to me. Really? We do have it. We do. It's just that my mental acuity for it isn't very high. And what I might call good, you might not like. So one man's meat's another man's poison, as it were, as the old saying goes. Good is a big project, and it relies upon simplicity, kindness, and the achievement of something called non-duality, where the mind is not in a dualistic posture. So when I'm looking at things and they're not working out the way I want them to, or that I don't see how good could come out of maybe some situation, it's only because I'm looking at it from the Greg Penn pedestrian mindset that simply doesn't comprehend the bigger picture. Here's the difficulty. With authentic good, another kind of mind has to be prevalent in me. Another way of, shall we say, observing everything. A mind that is not tick tock, tick tock, tick tock in Gregory's mediocrity, in his expectation, in his assumptiveness. Rather, goodness lies outside of that. And if I am able, through practice and meditation, to live beyond the ideals of my human body, beyond the beliefs of my human body, if I can practice beyond the mind of Greg that always wants things to be a certain way so he can benefit from them, then I enter into something very powerful, very loving, very kind. Then goodness and mercy bless my life deeply. But this is a very difficult thing for people to understand. When you are meditating or you are working upon yourself through meditation, which means that you are living by another mind, a mind that is not pedestrian by nature, you start to really understand that there is nothing that you can think that would produce anything good. This is a very difficult thing for most people to comprehend. So when I am out in the world and I look at what people do, I realize the only thing they're doing is trying to get what they want. They're yielding to their desires, their impulses, their wants, their needs, all of that. So if I step back, really step back, Bob, and I don't assess them, and I don't look at what they're trying to do, but I simply move beyond the thoughts that are predicated in fear and hate and selfishness, pride, whatever. If you just step back a little bit in third person, even in second person, you're going to get a lot. If you can just step back ever so slightly, you will recognize the totality of the situation you are in this world. And you will see a clear path to goodness. Now, this goodness is awareness. This goodness isn't just having everything turn out rosy. This goodness takes on other forms. It's like karma. It has begats to it. This will begat that, will begat that. You will see how our path is logified and reasoned through the idea of right and wrong, good and bad. And that is where we go wrong. When I am no longer interested in right and wrong, good and bad, when I can step back, step back, step back, and just observe, not think, observe. When my mind is no longer caught in the dualistic beliefs that it likes to be in, which predicate the idea of right and wrong, good and bad, when my pedestrian mentality has been put aside ever so slightly, then I begin to see the bigger picture. And that bigger picture shows me my place in this world, in situations and in conditions. I see things for the way they are, not the way I want them to be. And in doing so, there is a sense of love that will overwhelm you, a sense of goodness that will overwhelm you. You will start to feel the compassion for everything and how beautiful this all is. Goodness springs out of mercy. You will be able to forgive, which is the biggest thing that people need to do. Forgive. This forgiveness is not some proclamation I give. This forgiveness is rather a surrender to love, a surrender to kindness, a deep surrender, so to speak, to feeling that sense of overall goodness. And you take the attitude in that, not my will, but thy will be done. In doing it in such a manner, such great beauty will arise in you. And you will know great goodness. Yes, it lives within us as a state of being. But Bill, it is not easy to achieve because the ego gets in the way and the mind wants what it wants. And there you go. We have difficulty. I hope that helps you. I do. I loved your little sarcasm, and I want to thank you for it. Thank you, Bill. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question comes from Linda. And I know Linda. I've known her for many, many years. She lives in San Diego. She said, Greg, what it really is goodness? And then she lists a whole mess of things that one would do if they were charitable. And then at the end, she says, and what reward do we get for this? And then she writes, nothing. Well, Linda, we don't do things for the sake of getting a reward. And it's inferred in your email that we do things to be on the right side of life. So if I'm doing things that are considered good, then I would be thinking of myself as being on the quote-unquote right side of life. And I would start thinking to myself, there'll be a reward for this, and this will prove to me that there is goodness in the world, which really is not the effort. The effort is to do as many beautiful things as you can, just period. Just to do beautiful things, just for the sake of doing the beauty, of feeling the beauty, of understanding it, of appreciating what is beautiful. And helping other people is a part of that great beauty. But you have to understand this takes, how do I want to put this? A noble effort on our part. To attain to the soul, there must be a lot of sacrifice. One of them is not to be insulted. Another one is the ability to see my faults and my shortcomings without criticism, without feeling lesser than or more than or whatever, without excuses. It's really about living my life in accord with the heart. And if there is a reward, which I hate to use that word, but to use it in a language that most people can understand, we are doing whatever we are doing, the reward is to come into full bloom with the heart, the authentic heart, not the human heart. Again, I say the authentic heart. And that is far different than the human heart. I can't say this enough to you. And it just is very important that I forgive, that you forgive. And this forgiveness is not to say to someone, I forgive you. Like I say, it's not a proclamation. Rather, it is the way we surrender to love. If I surrender to love, there are no need for words, I forgive you. There might be something very powerful in going to the person that needs forgiveness or I think needs forgiveness or whatever, and dropping my ego and asking to be forgiven. Forgiveness is the essence of it all in this world. And if there is anything that any one of us achieves in this lifetime that is valuable, it will be in forgiveness. But most people can't because they live by their human instincts. And when I live by my human instincts, I put myself in precarious positions spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, and even physically. Father, forgive them. Ah, for they know not what they do. Very interesting statement said at a very, very profound moment in human history. I gotta go. Thank you, Linda, for your beautiful email and question. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here. I hope this weekend helped you. If you have any questions, just email me at greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire.org. Be back next week. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.